Welcome to Hustling Faith. This podcast is dedicated to helping women who want to analyze, apply, and amplify their God-given gifts. We accomplish this by discussing topics such as business, self-improvement, health and beauty, and my random thoughts about life from a Christian perspective. I'm your host, Latasha Johnson. Are you tired of feeling less than enough just because you're single? Then you'll love my new book, How to Live an Extraordinary Life with or without Mr. Right, a Christian woman's guide on how to survive and thrive on Single Avenue. It's time to acknowledge, address, and dismantle the harmful, limited mindset many single Christian women have internalized. Take the first step to discover and embrace the plans God has in store for you. If you want to be notified when the book is released, please check out the Hustle and Faith website. I cannot wait to share this with all my single ladies. You have everything you need to live an extraordinary life with or without Mr. Right. In this week's episode, I have the pleasure of speaking with Liku Tiamati Esquire. She is an award-winning California licensed attorney. Liku works with coaches, consultants, and expert service providers to establish a solid legal foundation for businesses with contracts, trademarks, and strategies for legal protection. She makes it a point to educate her clients on the what and why behind legal services to empower them to make legally informed business decisions so they can protect their business and make more money. Liku is also the creator of Precedent, which provides legal resources and contract templates specifically for coaches, consultants, and service providers. Liku is a proud mom, wife, and first-generation Tanzanian.
Welcome to the show, Liku.
Thank you so much for having me, Latasha. I am so happy to be here.
Oh my goodness. No, the pleasure is all mine. So why don't you tell the audience about yourself?
Yes. So my name is Liku Amadi Esquire. I am a business attorney and founder of Anasa Law Firm. I left corporate after about two-ish years during the pandemic in the middle of my first trimester of pregnancy to start my own law practice because I wanted to build a business that was centered on my quality of life. And I want to help other business owners do the same, right? By helping them understand the legalities in their business and how they could use them to leverage what they're already doing to make it easier to live the lives that they want to live. So that is me in a nutshell. Anasa Law Firm has been going on 3 years now, which I'm super proud of. And I am here to educate, drop some gems, and give some insight so that people don't look at the law as something that is just needs to get done, right? A box that needs to be checked, but something they can actually utilize to their advantage to get to where they want to be.
I love that so much. And I kudos to you. First of all, congratulations for the anniversary.
Thank you. 3 years.
That is amazing. Even more so, all of that taking place during the pandemic. How in the world did you even stay sane? That's a lot for one person to kind of do at one, especially that point in time. I mean,
there's a lot going on. I think COVID was a time of clarity for a lot of people.
Yes.
Number one, yes. Myself yes. included. Mm-hmm. I actually decided to leave corporate before I got pregnant. So it was a decision I had already made just from experiencing the pressures of being Black, a Black woman in corporate America, having to work 2 and 3 times as hard. And I was just like, this type of lifestyle isn't what I want to live. It's not worth it. I don't want to be stressed like this. I don't want my time to be constrained like this. And then when you throw in the pandemic where life is short and that message is just beating at you every day, like I made the decision that I can go out on my own. And if I fail for whatever reason, or if I don't like it, I can always go back to firm life, right? Or I can be a carpenter. I can do anything, right? So a lot of clarity and confirmation came during that time. And when I got pregnant, instead of being scared about my exit plan, I was even more empowered, which made me feel like I was doing the right thing. So definitely a crazy time, but a lot of clarity and confirmation came from it.
I love that so much. And I'm going to piggyback into that whole leaving the corporate world, but I want to first jump into what motivated you to get into law.
Yeah, I honestly wish I could remember like that specific moment. But ever since I was young, I've just been interested in the law, particularly how you can take one set of facts and, you know, twist them in somebody's favor, and that same set of facts could be twisted in three other people's different favors, right? Like, yeah. I appreciated that. I appreciate the delivery from people making arguments in the courtroom, like things I used to see on TV. And I thought that that was a skill that I could have. I was excited about learning about it. And when I finally jumped into it, I tried a few different areas of the law, but mm-hmm. overall, I just loved being able to wield that type of knowledge and power, especially for my community, the African-American community, which isn't, you know, filled with lawyers from top to bottom. So that also meant something of value that I can contribute to my community.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I'm trying to think about this a little here. So you mentioned that you left the corporate world. How is it different being out on your own than being in the corporate world? I have a feeling I know the answer to all this, but, and I'm not gonna lie, I'm a little envious of you on that part, but but curious about that.
Yeah, I actually, fun fact, I never wanted to start my own law firm. When I was graduating and people would be like, oh, you're gonna open your own law firm? I was like, nope, no. I just wanna go somewhere where they already have it set up, put in my hours, you know, get paid, pay off these school loans, and that be it. So I honestly, like, I did not want to start my own law practice because of the operational side of it. I wasn't interested in learning how to run a business. And what made me take that leap from corporate to being self-employed is realizing just with technology and, you know, online, it's easy, right? It's not... Well, let me take that back. It's not easy, but it's simpler than we make it, right? Like, I don't have to have a brick and mortar location, which was huge. I don't have to have a ton of attorneys working under me. I don't have to have a whole huge size operation from the jump. I could simply start taking work. And so one of the huge differences for me was controlling my own time. Someone who comes from the billable hour industry, right? One of those industries where you have to track your time is very tedious, stressful. The time and the pay is something that you focus on sometimes more than the actual work that you're doing for your client. And I realized that happening with a few clients that I was working with at the firm. And because I was new, I had to count my hours, right? Versus being someone who's 25 years in and they're kind of coasting because they've already proven themselves, right? So it's very different in that I decided not to do billable hours. I was like, let me just set one fee. When someone comes to me for some work, they can know what it is up front. They don't have to worry about, you know, counting time, and I don't have to worry about counting time on my end, and we can both focus on what they actually need. So that part is the biggest difference for me, because I can show up in a much more quality manner where I'm not restricted by, you know, those industry requirements and guidelines. Another difference I would say is the lack of cushion, the lack of cushion that you have as an entrepreneur. Like, when that's your end all be all, you know, you don't have that steady paycheck. You don't have that structure. Here's the work that you're doing. And that can be scary, but it can also be motivating, right? So it can be scary in the sense that, like, I don't want to do that at all anymore, which was my initial position, right? I didn't want to have that on my hands, but also motivating because you realize I can do this and I don't have to do it in the way that I traditionally have seen it, right? Like, I can make it my own. I can make my own hours. I can make my own packages. I can make my own policy. So I can, again, create my business to be subject to the quality of life that I want, versus being employed where it was the other way around, right? My quality of life was kind of just like leftovers because everything was so demanding and stressful. And again, on top of that, being a Black woman in that position, it's a lot of weight. So I would say those are the two main differences.
I could definitely see that. And I just want to piggyback off of something you said. You had mentioned that there was a little bit more freedom, right? Well, actually, it sounds like a lot more freedom, but good for you. Happy for right. you on that one. But I'm trying to figure out here, in terms of that freedom, what does that look like? Where were the opportunities that you were able to capitalize on mm-hmm. that the rest of your industry kind of didn't realize was an opportunity? Hopefully that makes sense.
Yeah. I think the freedom to choose who I want to work with, right? When you're working for other people, it's kind of like, this is what we have. Like when I was an intern, for example, I interned at a family law office. I did a little bit of criminal law, did a little bit of transactional, right? And so I was kind of just doing the work that they already had versus in my own firm, like I have the freedom to kind of pick and choose. And if I don't want to do that type of work anymore, then I just won't pick up those types of clients. And so I think that's a lot of freedom in itself. Because then if some work is stressing me out or I just simply don't like it, like I don't have to do it. I think the freedom to build your career in a more creative way. When I first started out, I was going to a local co-working space here in the Bay Area. And I think it was twice a month, I would do hour-long sessions on different just like business topics where I would stand there and I would just teach, right? And it was a great way to get eyes on me from like a client perspective. But more so, I learned that it was a great way for me to practice my speaking skills. It made me realize that I really love to educate about this stuff and I could educate about it without having to be paid, right? And so those types of creative outlets, I didn't see were really available to me in the corporate realm. Like I would speak on panels and whatnot, but there were more boundaries, if you will, right? Show up to certain networking events, talk to these types of people when you're trying to do this type of thing, because these are the traditional next steps. And so a lot more creativity to build your career and just other legs, right? So that if I wanted to pivot from practicing law, like as a licensed practitioner, there's mm-hmm. still other related outlets that I can go into without having to, you know, go be a carpenter and completely leave the law. So
yeah,
those are two types of freedom that I think are great.
Fantastic. So I'm sure you probably are aware of kind of like the different stigmas about lawyers, right? So what are some of the myths about your industry that you would like to set the record straight?
Ooh, how much time we have.
I know, I was just going to say, I wasn't going to get into all of them. I'm sure you probably heard it all. So that's why I asked that question.
Yeah, I think number one I'm going to say it. So number one, and not in any particular order, but lawyers being expensive. I think that's a little bit of a myth because yes, lawyers can be pricey, but depending on the person, right, and the value that they place on their business, like an expense becomes an investment, right? So it's not always that, you know, the legal stuff is expensive. It's more just seeing it sometimes as an investment. You're investing into your business. You're investing into your livelihood, right? When you get like a will drafted or a trust drafted, so you make sure that everything you worked for passes on to your children and grandchildren, right? So I really would like for people to reframe the law and just legal aspects, excuse me, of what they have to do more in that light. So I would say that's one thing. Number two is how lawyers look. And I don't know if that's really like a myth, but just like the stereotypical, you know, white, older male, like that's the lawyer that you want on your team. They're more trusted. They are smarter, do the job better, et cetera. And that's not always the case as someone who has worked with a variety of lawyers, right, in the law firm life, but then also just colleagues and people I've networked with, being an entrepreneur, right? Running my own law firm. And so I definitely encourage people to seek substance when they're looking for an attorney, and not just believe that, you know, if they're male, if they're older, they're whiter, means that they're going to get a better job done and a better experience overall. Because to be honest, society places value on those types of things because of the type of society we are, right? So that is number two. And then I would say number three, I just had it at the tip of my tongue. Number three is that everything is a fight. Everything is a fight. Like when you call a lawyer, it's to settle a dispute or a breach of contract, or it's like, what do we see on TV, right? In any television show, what are they doing? They're hashing it out. In court. I'll see you in court. Bang the gavel. They're fighting millions of dollars, going to jail, murder. Like it's not always like that. Like cases get settled, even when there is a fight, in a lot more of a collaborative fashion than they show on TV, right? These lawyers don't want to go to court. Going to court is expensive. Like they're like, you want to resolve this amicably? Okay, I think there's a way that we can do this, right? They want to kumbaya and make things easier. And so I also want people to understand that, because when you are faced with a dispute yourself or there's some type of problem even internally in your business, it doesn't always mean it has to be like a bad experience or a hard experience or something that you have to fight about. That is just a solution that has to be found by doing some work. So I would say those three myths there.
I love that. I love that so much. And I'm trying to sit up here because I'll be honest, because I, in my profession, my background is marketing and with a special emphasis on market research. And I've had my fair share of dealing with different legal folks. So I had some of those stereotypes too. I'm not even gonna lie. That's why I said, hey, set the record straight there for a second. So how do you balance staying true to your values and goals with the demands and pressures of your job?
I think I really realized how to do that when I left corporate, because it was, you know, the main thing was I want to live a quality life, and having to figure out what that means and then building my business around it. That's how I just maintain that, is always going back to like, okay, quality of life, quality of life, quality of life, and making sure that if I implement a new service, if I change a certain, let's say like my availability, right? Booking appointments or a structure in my business, that it is first, the foundation is the quality of life that I want to live. So as a mother who was, you know, raising a newborn infant, now he's a toddler, thank God he is in daycare right now. And, you know, like I had to make adjustments for that. I wanted to be present for my son, right? I didn't want to be a workaholic, if you will. And so making sure that I was working on certain days and other days was more of like a flex day, right? Or even currently I only take calls during a certain period of time on certain days. So always going back to that, you know, that foundation, that why, mm-hmm. that I want to live a quality lifestyle, and just knowing that grounds me and helps me keep moving forward no matter how hard it gets, because I always have that to get back to.
That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. I love the fact that from what I heard, it sounds like you keep going back to your why, right? Mm-hmm. It's yes. your why. So for folks that are struggling to figure out what their why is, what would be your advice to them?
So my life coach, Mario C. Brown, check him out. He helped me with this exercise. And first, when I was leaving the firm, I realized like, this ain't it. I don't want to be stressed. Like I want to be a little more stress free. I want to have a little more control, right? And I did this exercise with my life coach, and he made me write down four things that I wanted, right? And I wrote down those things, you know, be able to take care of my family, be financially free. And under each one of those was why, right? And then I would write my answer. And then again, why? And then I would write my answer. So there was like four whys under each thing. And it really just helped me reel in, like, you know, I just want to live my best life. I just want to live my best, relaxed, quality life with loved ones. And so I think that was a great exercise to kind of pull out what was already inside of me. Yeah. Right. And I'll also add, of course, in addition to that, I've had therapy. You know, I've had to unlearn a lot of things about just myself, the way that I've grown up, how society has, you know, played a role in my life and my professional trajectory, how I viewed myself, right? A lot of truths had to come out, a lot of unlearning and healing had to happen. So I would say that exercise was very instrumental for me. And so if people can just, you know, continue to ask themselves and be honest, right? Because for a lot of people, they didn't want to be a lawyer, but that was, you know, what was expected of them, or that's what they think they had to do in order to be quote unquote successful, right? So I would really say answering those whys honestly and trying to see how far you can get to really dig deep. But then also, if you haven't started doing just, you know, any type of self-work, journaling, again, therapy, maybe life coaching, that it's a great opportunity to kind of just find yourself a little bit deeper, which helps reveal that why even more.
Okay. I'm just sitting back here thinking about your answers, because there's so many things. I'm a big journaler, so that really resonated with me. I love to journal. Yes. So you already answered a little bit of this, but you started at NASA Firm for a variety of reasons that we already discussed. But now I want to learn a little bit more about what differentiates you from the competition.
What competition? Just kidding. I mean, I'm not just kidding.
No, I like that. No. I picked up on that.
I
like that.
I mean, that is one thing right there. Thank you. Because I was joking, but I was also very serious, right? So not thinking that there is competition. I mean, yeah, there's a market, there's an industry out there, right? But like staying zoned in on my own lane, paying attention to my own homework, not looking at someone else's paper, like that's something I've had to learn how to do, right? To build that confidence, to lean in on myself versus what is everyone else doing, right? Oh, if I can offer a service like that, then maybe I too will succeed, right? Or if I can, you know, be better than that person. And then your eye is just like off the prize at that point, and it chips away at the security you have in yourself to do what you want to do. So I mean, I stay true to myself. I talk about my experience when it comes to marketing who I am. I want people to not think I'm going to wear a mask, right? Like I'm not going to sit here and code switch, right? I'm not going to sit here and try to do things to accommodate you at my own expense. And that's something I've had to grow into. So it very much shows up in my business. On LinkedIn, I talk about my son. I talk about my experiences being a mom and building a law firm. So when people get on the call, it's like, oh, is that your son in the background? I'm like, yes, he's learning his ABCs. And, you know, they love that, right? They're a mom too, or they're a parent too. And that's one way that we can connect. So really leaning into myself and realizing that is my strongest superpower, because literally nobody else can do that. Right. It shows up in my marketing. It shows up on my website. It shows up in how I talk to people. It shows up in how I care about my clients. So even if the so-called competition tried to replicate that, it would be from a place that's not truthful and genuine, because they have their own lane and their own bag to be in. So that is how. Keep my eyes on my own lane.
I love that. And I can attest to the fact that actually, I came across your profile on LinkedIn and I was just like, I just started following you because I just loved how authentic you came across. And I'm like, oh my gosh, she's beautiful, smart. I'm like, okay, follow. Because I like the things that you were sharing as well. So that's one of the reasons why I reached out, because I really wanted other folks to learn from you as well. A lot of the advice that you offer really resonated with me, which is You are absolutely welcome, which leads to my next question. Why do you feel that many entrepreneurs fail to address the legal aspect of their business? Because they're so happy to get into business, they focus on the marketing, the sales, the market research, the, you know, all of these other things. But then like the legal aspect is like non-existent or way at the bottom of the list.
Yeah, it's like the little step cousin nobody want to play with until, you know, you got to play with him because mom said so. But yeah, I honestly think it just comes down to the messages we've received. Like if you think about it from just talk about a media perspective, right? What do we see about the law? We see like there's always a fight, right? There's always like an underdog. There's always an issue. There's always money on the line. And in our own lives, if we've had experience with the law, particularly Black people, like how has it showed up, right? Police knocking at our door, you know, custody issues, law enforcement, like jail, like, you know, like those are the things that we know about the law. And so when it comes to business, right, we only see it as, we sometimes see it as available to a certain type of people that is not someone, you know, just building their business from the ground up, right? It's someone who's already in business for 10, 20 years, has a multi-million dollar company. So they get to have the type of attorney that at that point, they'll help you, right? Versus anything before that might be trouble, if you will, right? So I think the messages that we get about legal in business make us feel like, you know, well, there's not a problem right now, so I don't really need to talk to an attorney unless there is a problem, or I'm not making that much money in my business, so I don't have to worry about getting an LLC, right? Or I haven't been in business long enough to have an attorney on retainer, when in reality, you know, just talking, even having conversations with an attorney can really help you and reveal the protection, not only the protection that you can have for your business, but again, just how you can utilize it to propel yourself. Because if you do, for example, have your LLC in order, you not only get that protection, but you also are in a structured position to apply for grants because they ask about that type of information, right? Send me your paperwork and your registration and loans and other programs like that, that further help propel your business. So I think that, again, the messages that we get have just led us to look at the law a certain way, right? Sure. That it's not something that we need right now, versus if you implement this now, then you'll be where you want to be faster.
I love that. Yeah. Now that makes complete sense. Complete sense. I can see what I'm getting. I feel like I know the answer to what this question might be, but I want to see your answer. What unique skills do you possess that you attribute to your success? I feel like I already know what it is, but go ahead.
Ooh, my default answer is just like talking. As you can see, I like to talk. And I've learned, I think, to do it well. I'm not even going to say I think. I've learned to do it pretty well, to the extent that I can speak up for myself, which I think helps contribute to my success. So not just in business, when I'm setting boundaries with clients or, you know, talking to potential partners and making sure I get clear information, but also personally, right? When I'm experiencing those hardships and I need to be able to speak up for myself, to speak up for my son, to speak up for my husband or my family, like all of that contributes to just my confidence, my ability to advocate for my clients. So I think that's something that I've always done, probably came talking out the womb, and something I've strengthened just through law school, through experience, through teaching and speaking. So I would definitely say talking, being a jibber jabber is up there for me.
I would say jibber jabber. I was thinking in my head, confidence, because you know what? Not everyone needs a mic, right?
That's very true.
Not everyone needs a mic, but you come across as very confident in the information that you have to share. I feel like would resonate with a lot of people because you just come across as very authentic. So I thought you were going to say confidence. So when you said confidence, I was like, I mean, I guess you gotta have some of that too, but I was like, confidence.
I would connect the two because, yeah, you know, I'm not afraid to speak up, right? And I'm not afraid to also just speak about what I want or speak about what I think is the truth, or if something's gonna get me canceled, but you know, this is my opinion, then I'm gonna share it. So I definitely do think that connects to confidence, but also, like you said, you know, not everybody needs a mic. And I very much believe that too. So thank you for seeing that in me.
Definitely. That's why I wanted you on the show, because I wanted more people to know more about you too. So
yes,
you are my small part to share my platform.
Yes.
So if you had to choose one word to represent your goals for this year, what would it be and why?
Ease. And the reason I choose.
No, I love this. You know what? Fun fact. I've been doing this show for almost 7 years, and I have yet to have a guest repeat the word. I haven't had a guest repeat a word yet. And ease definitely I would know if that was. It's been amazing. So I'm just waiting for someone. I wouldn't call them out on canceling my little streak I had going, but you know. But tell me about that ease. That's an interesting one.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if I shared this with you yet, Latasha, but I'm pregnant. I'm very pregnant. Yes.
Okay. So, man, I've been out of the LinkedIn game for a minute. Okay.
Yeah, and so have I, right? For good reason. So that's a huge part of it. Going on 8 months at this point. She's kicking right now as I'm talking to you. And so that is part
of Well, thank you to both of you for making time for this interview. I appreciate both of you.
Of course. She's a busybody too, you know, just like her mama. So that's a huge part. I know I was going to go into this year I give birth in April. So Q1 specifically being just a quarter of ease for me, a year of ease, just, you know, having a new child means it's going to change me as a person, right? As my own woman, as a mother, how I show up as a wife, and just all the other roles, how I show up as a business owner that I have to play. And so I want to incorporate as much ease as possible. And for my business, that means just continuing to do what's already working and doing it consistently, making sure that I'm showing up in a restful manner, making sure that I get my rest both mentally and physically. Even after I have my child, right, exercising ease to transition back into running my business, because now I'll not only be a mompreneur, but a mompreneur of two, right? And I have an infant at home again, which happened to me the first time when I was building my business. So this year is all about ease for me. And I've actually found that when I do take intentional rest, when I do take a step back, I make a lot of money. I just, like, you know, I make more money because I'm not forcing it. I don't feel like I have to show up. I'm taking care of myself. And I was talking to one of my clients today that when you serve yourself, you can show up and serve other people so much better. And that's exactly what's happening for me right now, even as I wind down the business to prepare for maternity leave, which is going to begin in March. That ease is just, you know, reflecting well on my business, not just from a financial standpoint, but just a clarity standpoint that I don't have to work hard all the time in order to see the fruits of my labor. I can trust the work that I've already put in, and I can stand in who I am and, you know, not be afraid to take a break, knowing that it's good for me. So my word is ease, and I encourage anybody else, listen, pick it up, use it. Let that be your word too.
I love that. What I heard from you was working smarter, not harder.
Yes.
That's the main thing that I heard from you, and don't pour from an empty cup, because you know what I mean? Like, so many people are like working themselves to death, but it's in vain. And anyway, I won't even get into that, but that's why my show is called Hustle and Faith, because I'm one of those people, you know, you can keep working, but it's all going to be in vain if you don't include God. So that's why I came. That's how I came up with this.
Yes, I agree. Yes. 100%.
Yeah. No, I love that. I love that. And last but not least, what's your best piece of advice for aspiring entrepreneurs and aspiring lawyers?
Ooh, for both, just do it. Just do it. Do it scared. Like do it fearful. Just like Nike, you know, go ahead and embrace that Nike. Get the sweatsuit, the hat, the shoes. Just do it, because we only have one life to live. Right. And it should be live the way that we want to live it. So do it. Figure it out if it works. Figure out if it works for you, if it's something that you truly enjoy doing. If not, shift, right? Both entrepreneurship and legal careers. Just do it. Take those steps to figure it out, because the more we take action, the easier it is to get to how we want to live. And so that will be my advice, is just embody Nike and do it. Take those actions, no matter how you feel. Let me add that. No matter how you feel about it, if you think somebody's looking at you, if you think you're going to be embarrassed, like, we all have to start from somewhere. I look back at my lives on Instagram from when I first started, and the way I showed up a few years ago versus how I show up on lives now, totally different. And it's a little cringe to watch. However, there's also a lot of satisfaction, like, wow, I grew into myself. Like, look at who I am now. So please just do it. You will thank yourself in the long run.
I cannot agree with you more. And honestly, that's why I keep a lot of my episodes. I started this back in 2018.
Yes.
And when I listen to the audio, I'm like, oh, so that's the background music. Like, what were the thoughts on that one? But you know what? The best piece of advice I got to was a guest. I can't remember which guest told me this, but if it's perfect, you waited too long.
Ooh, I know that's right.
Right? Like, and I was like, oh, it hit me when they said that, because I can't remember who it was, but it hit me because I was just like, that is so true. Instead of being embarrassed, I need to really embrace the fact that I just got out there, you yes. know, and just did it. Just like Nike, had my little hat on and everything.
Yes, just exactly.
Just did my thing. But you know, yeah. you grow, and I have to admit, YouTube, thank you. Wow. Cause that's some free education right there.
Yeah. And that's the, like, we were talking about confidence earlier, yeah. like, that's where you get it from. It's not from waiting until everything is yep. perfect. It's from showing up yep. imperfect, messy, just yep. putting yourself out there and believing that it's going to work out if it's not already working out. So yeah, that's where the meat of it is, right? It's in the journey, not the destination. So yes.
Love that. Yes. I love that so much. Well, Leeku, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. I just want to thank you so much for coming on to the show. And if folks want to get in touch with you, how can they go about doing so?
Yes, definitely connect with me on LinkedIn. That is my main social media platform. I'm probably like one of three Leekus on LinkedIn. So search Leeku T. Amadi, you will find me. You can also subscribe at theprecedent.co. That is my resource business, so adjacent to my law firm, where you can secure contract templates and strategic legal resources to do what I've been talking about, right? Build your business in a manner where you can live your quality of life first, because that's what I want for all business owners. You can also find me at anasalawfirm.com and see my services there if you'd like to work with me directly. And if you just want to have a conversation, send me a DM. If you're thinking about entrepreneurship, if you're thinking about going to law school and having a legal career, I'm always open to talking to people and giving them some advice or a taste of what I've been through. So please just do it like Nike. Reach out to me and I will help you as best as I can.
Liku, once again, thank you so much for coming on to the show. I really appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode. If you enjoy listening to Hustle and Faith and would like to support the show, please consider sharing it with your friends, rate or leave a review, donate, or make a purchase at our shop starring you crew. Remember, if you're everything to everyone, then risk being no one. You never know who you will inspire. See you in the next episode.